You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Shot blocked. Porzingis with his fourth projection. Courtney Lee for three. Beasley lines up. Ntilikina.
What he does is contagious. He comes in, touches.
Hand across the lane. Baker launches. Jack to Porzingis. Fires up the ball.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of explaining, complaining, and entertaining. I'm your host, James Marcito, a.k.a. I bomb Ramonic these sessions, a.k.a. sing me a song, I'm the piano D'Antoni. You may know me as the founder of NBA Injury Report on Twitter, and this is episode 287. On today's show, I'm joined by the wonderful, the good-smelling, the not-at-all-creepy Jonathan Schulman of Posting and Toasting. We're going to talk about the G League. Dylan joined us the other day to talk about the Westchester Knicks. We're going to step a little bit back and talk about the league as a whole. Where's it going in the next 5 to 10 years? Will it ever replace the NCAA as a feeder system for the NBA? What rule changes would we like to see tested out within its friendly confines? And we've got a lot more going on this show. I think you guys are going to like it. Without any further ado, let's just start the thing.
Hit him, Marf.
Yes!
So the other day on Locked On Knicks, we had Dylan Dente of Posting and Toasting on the show, and he talked about covering the Westchester Knicks lone playoff game. We talked about the vertical integration of the Big League Club and the G League Club. I want to kind of expand on that discussion. And I'm joined by the great Jonathan Schulman of Posting and Toasting. Hello, John. How you doing?
Hi, I'm really good.
Good.
Also great. Very great.
That's wonderful. And today we're going to take, for some reason, everyone is now saying like 30,000 foot view. Is that the, I feel like that's the cliche distance when you're talking about like an overview of something.
People say that?
Yeah. I read it like three times in the past week, like a 20, or like heard it on podcasts.
Back in my day, we had a fine-tooth comb. I don't know.
Yeah, so we're gonna broad-tooth comb through the G League. We're just gonna talk about the G League in general today, and general, as they would say in Spanish. And I want to start by asking you, John, where you see the G League going in, like, let's say, like 5 to 10 years.
Sure. I mean, so I think first of all, you got to sort of think about. Adam Silver recently said that the I don't have this quote, so I fucked up already.
But anyways,
Adam Silver was talking about, you know, how the college game is great, and you know, it kind of seemed like a veiled threat to me that the college game is great, but you know, the G League maybe is on the rise, and so. Anyway, like,
that's very like mafioso. Like, you got a nice college game here. Would be a shame. Yeah. Would be a shame if anything happened to it.
Yeah, you know, your billion-dollar industry reminds me of my billion-dollar industry, and I have a small multi-million-dollar industry that I would like to replace yours with. Anyway, so I guess to get past my fumbling about Adam Silver's quote, I think. Pretty soon, certainly within the next 5 years, you'll see a one-to-one ratio of 30 teams in the NBA, 30 G League teams, and they'll each have their own unique team. And there won't, there's like right now, there's players that are used. A player could be on the Wizards, but he's a shared player that plays for the Westchester Knicks. And the Wizards retain his rights, but he's in the Knicks system, which vertically integration-wise doesn't quite track. So
yeah, I wanted to kind of ask you about that. Like, I was looking it up because I knew it was a small number of teams who don't have like their own G League squad, and I guess the Wizards are getting one next year. But
the only G League team I follow on Instagram, yes.
Oh, Is that so? Why is that?
I like their logo. It could be better.
Do they post it like once a day and you're just like, yes?
Nah, you know, they haven't been in my feed recently, but ever since Mark Zuckerberg took over my Instagram, you know, things have been a little wonky and it's not in order, and I don't know if I see it all.
Instagram has been ruined. That's all I want to say about that. But it's been destroyed. But there's, so right now there's four teams that don't have their own G League team. And there's kind of a weird distinction. There's like, you can either own the team outright or you own all the basketball operations, but there's like a local person who actually like does all the promo, or, you know, local business that like makes the money. And I forget, like a couple teams have that arrangement. That's a weird arrangement, but there's four teams, including the Wizards, the Nuggets, the Pelicans, and the Blazers, who don't have G League teams. And I don't understand why they wouldn't. Like, why would you? Is it because of like cheap ass owners? Like, how does it make sense to not have a farm team?
I mean, there's probably a few different ways to look at it. I would assume it's just like, well, I don't want to start a new business, so I'm not gonna.
Right.
You know, and like, there's no, so far as I know, NBA mandate that's like you have to have a vertically integrated G League team. Like, that's just not a thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sure, let's say Paul Allen is just like, look, I got the only game in town. Why? Man, blackjack reference that I'm not going to be able to do. Why split the something or other and, you know, double down? Is that the fucking thing? I don't know. Who gives a damn? Anyway,
those are all blackjack terms, yes.
Sure, I bet. Gamble. Anyway, yeah, like, why do that? Why split the fountain? Screen printing reference. And create a G League team when, like, the only team I'm really arguing with or battling with is the Oregon Ducks.
Right.
Like, not really, man. So, like, just let the college thing be that, and, like, I don't have to deal with the minor leagues of my sport. Like, I feel like that's one of the biggest reasons.
Yeah. That's dumb, though. I'm like, I want to short the stock of all of these teams. Like the Nuggets, Pelicans, Blazers. Like, even the Knicks understand like the benefit of having a G League team. Like, that's, you know.
I mean, you know, you hope they do. It seems like for the Knicks part that they have sort of created very clearly a vertically integrated team.
Yes.
Like, we, Dylan and I watched the game last week, and, you know, I mean, they both teams have the same sort of problems. How Mike Miller has addressed the team's iniquities versus Jeff Hornacek is opposite, but like, they have the same sort of character, I guess. And you know, I think that's a top-down situation. They've really got something. Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, time will tell. But, you know, for sure.
All right. Tell me more about the future of the G League.
I mean, so, you know, in the next 10 years, I would not be shocked if the NBA is trying to basically overwrite college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And that means, like, all right, let's say the Westchester Knicks gain a bit of notoriety, you know, four guys or something like that come up from the G League and become, let's say you get two all-stars and a most improved player or something like that, you know, in the next several years. Not saying that's going to happen tomorrow, because it's not. But, you know, as the G League sort of takes over, it's presumes the next level below the NBA – instead of college basketball, it's not without reason to think that they're going to really have the second best level of player. They may now, although sort of, you know, you got to think the Spanish ACB has that title. But they may right now be the second best league in the world. I mean, it's certainly possible.
I mean, it makes too much sense to not just keep heading in that direction, because these guys that go to college, you know, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why, but like one of them is that, like, I mean, if you're NBA bound or think you are, like, you're not going to finish. So the degree doesn't matter as much. Meanwhile, if you get like $10, your, you know, amateurism can be in jeopardy, and that's just like one part of it. But then for the NBA's part of it, you know, you've got people going to like Kentucky or whatever, and you know, they figured out that Karl Anthony Towns is pretty good, but you know, they're running these systems that like don't correlate to what they're doing in the NBA. But whereas when you're in the G League, you can put some guy in your system or someone else's system that's like very similar to yours. It's very NBA. Like, you see what they're going to do, like having a similar role to what they'll actually have once they become a pro.
So I think that's where a guy like this kid, Darius Bazley, comes into place. So this kid, he's 17. 17, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And he decommitted from Syracuse because that's a terrible basketball program that really shouldn't get any players of promise. So
why do you hate now, Syracuse?
What?
Why do you hate Syracuse?
I don't hate Syracuse. But
why
I
mean, are they a terrible basketball program?
I mean, it's pretty obvious, don't you think?
Yeah, I hear you.
But just a quick aside on Syracuse. Yeah, I mean, I think Boeheim makes a very distinctly flawed NBA player, especially wings. Big guys have a chance. If you're a good big guy and you go to Syracuse, you got a chance. If you're a good guard and you go to Syracuse, you're broken. You can't play defense. You do not know how to lock and trail on anybody, and you'll never figure it out because you had a distinct chance when you're about 18 years old to really decide who you're going to be as a basketball player. And Boeheim tells you, you don't have to play defense except right here. And then, like,
that's an interesting
get
point.
Down a little bit, but... Yeah, it's just that guy creates a perilously flawed player. And I love Carmelo, but I mean,
I like this take.
A1 example.
I like this take.
Michael Carter Williams, another perfect example. A kid I grew up watching, Lawrence Moten, I think he made the record in the Big East of the scoring title, rather, most points in Big East history. But couldn't play fucking defense. So, you know what? He didn't make it. Anyway,
no.
The list goes further. Deion Waiters is a decent example. But anyway, why am I...
I made you take this aside. We were talking about Bazley and or Bazley. And I want to keep doing that. But we got to do the network promo. And...
Oh, because you're listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. The number one daily show, sports network show. I think you love it here. How is that?
Perfect.
You're going to go in and edit it.
Yep. No, I'm going to. No, I'm keeping it. I left that space so I could put the ad right after you asked, how is that? And then hopefully the ad comes in. Behind the curtain, the ad doesn't always come in. That's why we have to read it in a certain way, because sometimes you hear it and sometimes you don't. I'm giving away secrets here.
Somebody, and then all right. I'll ask you later.
Yeah.
Oh man. Anyway, like I was saying, something.
Bazley, we were talking about the Players Tribune article on the kid jumping straight to the G League.
Oh yeah, I mean, and like, kudos to him, man. This kid realizes that, you know what, it's not going to be all fucking grapes and roses. And that's a very inside joke that only my friend Taha will get. But anyway.
Shouts to you, Taha.
Yeah, he's not listening.
I hope you're happy, Taha. John's out here ruining this sode just so you will get an inside joke.
At Mr. Lando Lakes on Twitter, I think.
That's a pretty good Twitter handle.
Okay.
Lando Lakes, spread the sheet cream. Do you remember that commercial? Low in fat and cholesterol free.
You know, Lando Lakes, dangerous butter right there. I don't like that butter.
They've also got one of the great logos. It's like recursive. The like woman's like holding a Lando Lakes thing, and the Lando thing has the woman holding the Lando, you know.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, for all you kids out there. 90s kids don't know this, or 8-7 millennials. I'm a 90s kid, I think.
You're a 90s kid?
I don't know. I was born in 82. Does that make me a 90s kid?
I was born in 82, but I thought I was an 80s kid.
I mean, my first memories of childhood are like very 80s, but then a lot of it was the 90s too, so maybe a hybrid. I'm a tweener.
Yeah.
We're tweeners.
I think I'm a tweener too. Oh, no. We're combo guards.
In the new positionless NBA, though, John, we're a hot commodity.
Yes, we are skill-based.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
But so going back to Bazley, right? So he decommitted from Syracuse. He's going to go straight to the G League. He'll be in the G League draft this coming September. I forget. And then in the following season, he'll be in the NBA draft. But instead of going to Syracuse, having to take a bunch of dummy courses, you know, he's not going to go into college, into student loan debt.
Right.
But if he were to go to Syracuse. But, like, you know, instead of making no money to play under intense scrutiny at Syracuse, he's going to make a little bit of money to be under the influence of NBA level or, you know, just below, which is still intensely high level training and community, where all these guys are like their number one focus is to be intensely good at basketball. There's no like, you know what? I just want to be okay in the G League. And if that works for me, I'll have a great career. No, it's not going to happen. Like, you look at this guy. There's this guy, Andre Ingram. He just got signed to the Lakers. He's been in the G League for 10 years. Like, the guy has gray hair. Like, he's only 32, but, like, he's been through it, you know? And he's finally got his shot with the Lakers. And, like, on the one hand, you sort of think maybe that's kind of like a token gesture, but like regardless, that guy, he, if I'm not mistaken, you know, like I don't know much about him, I'm not gonna act like I'm some sort of savant, but you know, I think he led the G, he's the G League history leader in three-pointers made, you know, so like maybe it's just rough.
you don't want to be that, not
right now, but eventually, like, someone's going to pass Andre Ingram, who's going to have – maybe he could have 2 years in this league at 32 years old. He gets there to 34, 35, you know. Like, that's amazing. And, like, his baseline salary at the NBA level now is – it could be life-changing. Like, he could buy a house. Like, that's – it's a huge lottery. And, like, I'm unbelievably happy for him. But, you know –
Do you think there'll be pressure for the NBA to pay these guys more of like a living wage? Because I think it was, you know, in that Players Tribune article, the kid was like, you know, like I'm going to make $27,000. That's a lot of money for me. And like, sure, if you're 17 and you've like you said, like your mom's been giving you 20 spots or whatever, that is a lot of money, but it's nothing if you're trying to actually live. So
sure. I mean, yes, no question. So, sooner or later, and I do believe it will happen, but sooner or later, I think the G League is going to overtake the NCAA because it's just got too much scrutiny over whether it's corrupt because, I mean, come on, it's got to be.
Yeah, of course it is, yeah.
So,
do you think there'll be a time when, if not all, that, like, most NBA tier prospects will just be in the G League? Because I'm assuming there'll always be some people who want that allure of like playing for a college team and having those huge crowds and being big man on campus and all that shit, right? Like, college is fun, Animal House, blah. But like,
I mean, to that end, yes, I do think one day it will get there. Do I think it'll be in the next 5-10 years? No.
Yeah, it's gonna take a while.
I think there's just, people are too much creatures of habit. I think that when you go back to that Players Tribune article, like, Bazley was kind of like, maybe I'm doing something, maybe I'm not, we'll see, but this is the path I'm taking. And I don't think old habits die hard, and I don't really think you should expect, like, the DeAndre Aytons and Michael Porter Juniors and Mo Bamba, like these guys that have like pretty highly touted recruiting careers, because that's real. Like, these kids are recruited from the time they're like 14, 15. And that's if they're late to the game.
Right. Sure.
So, you know, like the old habit will die hard. And like a lot of kids might look at it and say 20, whatever, 30,000, let's say, 40,000 even a year to play in the G League. They might be like, whatever for that. Like, so-and-so will pay me 150,000 to play for Duke or whoever.
Sure.
And like, whether that's something you can publicize, who gives a damn? Like, it's definitely happening.
Of course. Yeah.
So go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, I could see in like 20, 30 years, maybe that being the case. Because it definitely, like, once, like you said, it'll take a while. This kid's the first one to do it. Then more people will do it. Then, like, I mean, this is not really 100% related, but I just remember hearing, you know, when Patrick Ewing went to Georgetown, and they were like, he's not even a recruiting advantage because, like, kids don't even know who he is. And that's, like, inconceivable to me. But, you know, like, from one generation to the next, like, things change drastically. That's, like, the most, you know, inconsequential example I could possibly use to illustrate that point. But
so think about it maybe more like this, right? So let's say it's 6 or 8 years from now and there's a G League team right in Long Island, Westchester, New Jersey, and like, I don't know, Connecticut or Staten Island or somewhere relatively close. Maybe there's another Brooklyn team, like Coney Island. You know, like, it's not inconceivable that there could be small fan bases that are, like, really show out hard for their, you know, effectively their AAA team.
And so, do you think that there'll be expansion then? Like, could there be tiers, like the way baseball has with AAA and AA and all that?
Oh, definitely. So, I mean, while I think that would be like, oh wow, the G League is like 45 teams. Like, how do we, you know, like, we're not really figuring this out. It's not perfectly clean, I guess. You know, so then you can look at it as AAA, AA, et cetera. But, you know, just like right now, G League teams have open tryouts. And like, do you think the kids from let's say some random person from California, you think they're really going to make their way to the Westchester Knicks training facility, pay $150, not or whatever it may be?
I was actually just looking at this on the G League website, and for one of the teams that held open tryouts, it was $350, and you too could try out for the Westchester Knicks or whoever it was.
So there you go, and like, without question, the Westchester Knicks, and let's say there's the Hartford, Connecticut.
The Hartford Heat.
Hartford Heat? Ooh.
Just for the alliteration.
Yeah, okay. I'll go along. Anyway, so, like, you're going to get sort of a New York style of basketball. That's, like, an easy thing to sell, even. And then let's say there's a Seattle G League team. Which eventually is going to be, like, Seattle has a huge culture of basketball that's in the NBA and around the country. Like, Seattle has a style of ball, for sure, and Chicago does. And anyway, you know, it's going to sort of create a territory, a regional set of regional style. And I think that will help the G League gain traction as an actual draw. And, like, before long, like, yeah, I think the G League ends up being a testing ground for NBA expansion. So you get a G League team for, let's say, the Portland Trailblazers. You put them in Seattle, and before long, oh wow, Seattle, we really love this G League team because there's no other basketball team to root for. And hell, you know, 31 teams in the NBA, not a bad idea. Let's make the Seattle Sonics a thing again.
Oh God, I hope they don't do that. Well, I don't care about Seattle. Like, I mean, it would be cool for Seattle to have a team and maybe contract some other, you know, like let's say the Heat or the Celtics, just get rid of them. But that's just like, I'm just seeing like one more lottery team. I'm like,
ugh. Well, I mean, I have lottery reform ideas that nobody wants to hear, but.
Ooh, on a different sode, for sure. We're going to talk about that in the off season.
Yeah, actually, I intend to write about several new. How many rule changes do I have? I have 16 rule changes that I'm going to write about this summer. But nice. Who cares? But you know, but speaking of rule changes, like the G League is a place to test new rules.
Hey, John. Before we get into that, let's do another network promo.
Because you know you're listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where I think you, dear listener, can rate this show 5 stars. Give me your best Knicks cold take, because come in humbly. We love you. You love the Knicks. Give me a good Knicks name pun. Are you the Amari Baradamire of the Locked On Podcast Network? Tell me and rate 5 stars. I love you.
That was beautiful.
Okay.
Let's talk about rules.
Sure. I mean, I don't know. So just jumping back to I'll give you one of my rules that I'd like to write about or a rule change that I think should be proposed, which is so a shot clock violation is a lot like a backcourt violation. So you took the shot, it didn't touch rim, the buzzer goes off. If the offense touches it, it's a turnover. If the defense touches it, it's still a live ball.
And
so, you know, like it's just a simple thing to keep the game flowing.
Yes, like, more soccer style, just keep it going.
So right, try that in the G League. If it goes poorly, don't worry about it. But I mean, let's be real. That one's going to go great.
Yeah. Come on. So I love that. I hate the like bogging down with instant replay and all this stuff. I would like to do away with instant replay completely. I know I'll never get that, but.
Well, but I mean, doesn't instant replay become less of a problem when that's one of the only things we're stopping the game for, or one of the fewer things, you know what I mean? Like,
if it were, sure. But, like, look, we just keep adding it, and people don't stop complaining about the refs. The outcomes aren't seen as any more fair, and it just makes the game horrible to watch. Like, I hate instant replay.
Trust me, I don't disagree. But I'm just trying to say, like, that's not going to go away. Because, you know, basically, you gave us this bread, and we're not giving it back kind of a thing.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, like that's one idea. So try it out in the G League. Another idea that the G League would be perfect for is new uniform ideas. You know, the short sleeves didn't work in the NBA. Well, you should have tried it in the G League, but you messed around and didn't.
How hard is it to get a rule change passed in the G League? Do they just kind of throw everything in there, or is there still sort of like a committee that debates it and?
Well, I'm on the committee, and I have no idea. So, yeah. I have no idea. I wish I knew. Like I said, I'm not.
Yeah.
This is just, like, ideas that I have that I think would be – that I think track and could make sense and wouldn't be shocked if things go this way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I'm really saying. Like,
I hear you.
Yeah. That's all.
Any other rule changes you think that the G League might want to incorporate?
Oh my God! You want me to go into my rules?
Let's do one more, and then we'll wrap up because we're just about that time.
All right. How about hockey assists? So you get a half an assist for a hockey assist.
Love it.
A point five. Agents will love it. Joe Ingles, of course, becomes, you know, a $16 or $18 million a year player, but whatever, because you know he's going to start to average double digit assists. So, Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. That's one idea. But try it in the G League. Does it make sense? Does it pump players up too much? Not enough? Like,
I mean, assists are already so wild. I don't see why not. I've, you know, since doing the podcast, I've been, like, I wouldn't say more stat-focused, but I'm looking at, like, more stats than ever before. I'm, like, in this shit every day. I'm looking at, you know, NBA.com/stats has those box scores, the video box scores. And so a lot of times I'll look at a player's, like, every assist and video. In every game, there's at least one, if not two, where, like, they pass. And I know assists are defined very murkily. It's, like, any pass that leads to a basket. So you can, like, dribble and stuff. But, like, we all know when it's, like, all right, you pass to a guy, he pump faked.
That's kind of ridiculous.
Dribbled, did a spin move. You're like, that's not an assist anymore.
Yeah. And you get, nobody, like, ever got an assist to Melo unless it was, like, a drop-off for the 28-footer. But, yeah.
That's for sure.
But, yeah, no, like, maybe, I mean, you know, I haven't written that article yet. But, so in who cares, man? That's one idea.
That's all I asked for, and you performed admirably under those, let's be honest, not that intense set of rules.
I just had to go to a different tab in my notes, that's all.
Well, John, thank you for joining me on, you know, just another wonderful episode of Locked On Knicks, if I do say so myself.
You're allowed to say whatever you want.
Yeah. Where do people find you if they want more of this?
Mexico City. No, they can just follow me on Twitter. I'm sure I'll make some annoying joke that won't really be funny, but maybe you'll think about it for a couple minutes. Maybe you won't. I'll be recapping the final Knicks game of the season.
Woo!
Tomorrow? Yeah, tomorrow, baby. Oh, my God.
Rest in peace, Knicks season.
Just go away. can't wait to cremate this year.
Thanks, but, John.
Thanks for having me.
That was fun, right? Always like talking to John. He's an interesting guy with interesting ideas. And, you know, what more can you want from a podcast? You know what I'm saying? Hopefully the ideas are interesting. Otherwise, what are you doing here? You know? That's it for us for today on Locked On Knicks. Thank you so much for listening. If you got a moment, rate us on iTunes. Subscribe to the show if you haven't already. Tell your friends about the sensation that's Locked On Knicks. If you haven't already, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Knicks, or you can follow me at NBA Injury Report. Be chill to each other. Spay and neuter your pets. If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. Always salt the pasta water. And tune in tomorrow for another episode of Locked On Knicks. Peace!